And by myself to get ready for Shavuos. Also very, very chashuv ezach. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, in Daf Gimel, on the days, the Gemara says, it tells a story. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Maisa Be'echad, there was a guy, that's going to be important later on, Shemesa Isho, his wife passed away, V'nicha Ben, Leonik, he had a little baby, Nebuch that was nursing at the time from the mother who was Nifteres. He didn't have money to hire a wet nurse to be able to nurse this baby. So what happened? V'nasalones, the nes happened. V'niftachu lo dadin kishnei dadei isha v'heimik esbino. This man miraculously had the ability to nurse the baby. Amar v'yosef, bo'er e kama gadol adam zeh. Wow, amazing. Oh, the guy is able to nurse his baby. Pilei plaim, amazing. Shenasa lo neis, because that must be a great man, because a neis happened to him. Amalei Abaye said to Rabbi Yosef, Adarabba, fakert, kama garua adam zeh. He must be on a very low level. Shenishtanu lo sidrei bereishis. Hashem changed the ganze welt for this person. Hashem doesn't like doing that. That's not the Hanhaga, the normal way of the world, and therefore he must be something wrong with him. He's garua. So the Tosi Yishanim asks Akashi here. He says that the Bereishis Baraba, a pasuk by He Omenas Hadasa, when referring to Mordechai, the Medrash says that Esther's two parents passed away, and Mordechai, a neis happened to Mordechai, he was able to be meinik Esther. We don't find anywhere in the Midrashim anywhere saying, oh, kama garua adam zeh. Mordechai is a tzaddik. No one argues on that. So he asks, he says, ma pitom over here, Abaye has tainas on this guy. The exact same thing happened to Mordechai, and we don't find anyone ever yelling out against him. And he says also, we find throughout the Gemara, we always find nisim happening to tanaim left and right. And no one ever stands up and says that what's going on. So the Tosi Shomik has an answer that the Gemara Dafka over here said that he didn't have any money. Mordechai had money. Mordechai could have gone and hired a wet nurse. And still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and gave him the ability to be meinik. That's obviously something very chashuv because of a certain darga that he was on. But over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply could have just given this guy money. He didn't have to go to such an extreme. So the fact that he didn't just give him money, that would have been the normal way. So therefore, Abaye was considered garua. Okay, Yishal Ayin in that answer, exactly how that works. I want to give over here a Gavaldic answer from Chaim Velazhiner, which is quoted in the Sefer Milo Sasulam, which is in the Sefer Elios Elio. And a footnote over there quotes from Chaim Velazhiner the following answer. But before we give the answer, I'll give a little bit of Abdam. We know the famous chait of Mei Meriva, which didn't allow Moshe and Aaron to go into Eretz Yisrael, was because, at least the common answer is because there was a rock, right, the Be'er Shem Miriam, which for 40 years, Bnei Yisrael, almost 40 years, Bnei Yisrael got water from. Miriam died, they needed water, Bnei Yisrael complained. Hashem told Moshe to go take his matah and go speak to the rock. Moshe went ahead, hit the rock instead of speaking to it, and therefore, it was a Chil Hashem, and he wasn't able to go into Eretz Yisrael. That's what Rashi learns. The Rechaim HaKadosh points out in Parashat Chukas that there are really 10 answers, at least, in the Rishonim, exactly what this chait is. Rashi's explanation is far from Pashat. Like the Ramban asks, he says, what's the big deal? You hit the rock, you speak to the rock. At the end of the day, water comes out of a rock. What was the grace of Chil Hashem that happened because he spoke instead of hitting? Okay, we're not gonna get there. I'm not going to answer that question. But second, he asks, he says, this is not the first time water came out of a rock. The first time the water came out, 39 years before, so Hashem, in Rephidim, Hashem went ahead and told Moshe to go ahead and hit the rock. And here, Hashem told him to take the matah with him. So the fact that Moshe went ahead and hit the rock, like he did 39 years before, and over then it was a perfectly fine nace to occur. So what was a big deal that over here he didn't speak, and instead he hit? And for that reason, because of that kasha, the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban gives a whole different shot into what the chayt was, and many Rishonim, based on this question, disagree with Rashi. Okay. The Sefer HaIkrim in Maimer Dalet, he, not coming to answer Rashi, he has his own derech, one of the 10 reasons for what the chayt is. I'm going to go into his reason, but we'll use his reason to answer for Rashi. And he says as follows. He says, one of the Yisodei HaIkrei HaMuna, that's how he introduces this, is that we realize that Torah, the Lomdei Torah, people who live Torah, Teva, nature, is completely kafuf to them. That's what he writes. He says, and this is something, one of our Ikrei Amunah, that we have to realize. That the people who learn Torah, people who are Osek in Torah, people who live Torah, the nature of the world is kafuf to them. And that's it. And therefore, he explains, that why was it, back then, 39 years before, that Hashem said to go hit the rock? Maishna from now, then he goes ahead and Hashem says to speak to the rock. He says, because 39 years before, the Torah wasn't given yet. So here, you want to come and make a big shinoi in the teva of the world. You want a rock to let water come out. So the only way for that to happen, avada is a miracle, but the only way for that to happen is with force. You have to show that you're overcoming nature, because nature shouldn't allow this. So with force, with a certain physicality, you come along, you hit that rock, and then water could come out. However, now that the Torah was given, he says, but for water to come out of a rock, for Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the rock for water to come out, of course it's going to come out. Pshita. Moshe is the embodiment of Torah, right? He gave the Torah over to us. So for someone like Moshe to go ahead and tell a rock to give off the water, of course that's going to happen. The fact that Moshe went ahead then and said that, no, even now I need that force. Even now I have to go ahead and hit that rock and zap the water out. That's a Chil Hashem. Because you're showing that the Torah is not kaf, the Teva, I'm sorry, is not kafuf to Torah. So daf over here, Moshe was supposed to speak. Because just speaking, there's a medrash, amazing medrash. The medrash says that he should have said a mishnah at the rock. Don't know exactly what that means, but he just should have shown that here I'm learning Torah and just watch, phew, the water's going to come out. That's what's supposed to happen because that is normal. That is normal. We think that's a miracle. No, that is normal. The norm is that when you're around someone that embodies the Torah, that learns the Torah, that adheres to the Torah out of self. So then, of course, nature goes this way, nature goes that way. Ein baya, it's not even such a big miracle. And the fact that Moshe didn't do that, say Rikim writes, the fact that Moshe and Aaron ran away, they fell to the old Moed, they were like in a panic. Oy vey, B'nai Yisrael are asking for water, what are we going to do? So they ran to the old Moed, they started to daven. Say Rikim says, that was their chait. What are they panicking about? They're Torah. Of course, let them show everyone that the Teva is going to change once the Lomdei Torah are over there. And that's why Dafka, there was a chilip between Rafidim and over here by Mei Mariva, there's a difference. And this, you saw, many people know from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, that the Or HaChaim asks, he says, why was it that one of the biggest Nisim ever in the history of the Jewish people is Kriyas Yam Suf, Gevaldik. So he asks, he says, the Gemara says in Chulin, on Dav Zayin, that Pinchas ben Yair got to the Ginoi River, and he had to get over. What was he going to do? So he said, I demand that you split. It split, and he walked right through. So what's the grace is off that the Kriyas Yam Suf split? It split for their Tana. And not only that, Chazal Abramsky says in the Chazon Yecheskel in Sota, he points out that you don't have to go all the way down to Pinchas Ben Yair. Just with the Bnei Yisrael, they went into Eretz Yisrael when they crossed the Yarden. So how did they split the Yam Suf when they went in? So the Gemara says, in Sota, the Nachshon ben Aminadav had to jump in, and then all of a sudden it happened. The Medrash says that Bnei Yisrael, they walked in, the water got up into their nose, and once it got there, oh, then it split. But by the Yarden, the Pasuk says, Mefurish, in the beginning of Yeshua, the Bnei Yisrael started walking in, the first second they put their foot in, all of a sudden the Yarden split. So, that's also a miracle. So they both explain, no, there's a very big difference between the two episodes, Pinchas ben Yair and the Yarden on one side, and Kriyas Yam Suf on the other. Kriyas Yam Suf was before Matan Torah. before Matan Torah, for Teva to switch, for the whole Hanhaga of the Ganze Welt to change, you need a jumping in. You need the Bnei Yisrael to walk in up to their nose, show a massive Maisa of Mesiras Nefesh, and then Hashem goes ahead and says, okay, we're gonna change Teva. But after the Torah was given, Bnei Yisrael going into the yard, you just have to walk in like this, and the whole thing splits. Or Pinchas Ben Yair just says, look, I need you to split, and the whole thing splits. But there's a whole difference in the Hanhaga of the entire world once the Torah is given, and people are learning the Torah, people are osik in the Torah, people are living the Torah. Then, nature, by definition, has to be kafuf to the Torah. The Maral speaks out that we find that there's a difference between, the Maral says in many places, a difference between the number 7 and the number 8. The number 7, like 7 days of the week, represents nature, the natural way of the world. The number 8, Shmona, represents above nature, something that's above and beyond. Rav Huttner in Pachad Yitzchak quotes his Maral, and he points out that Sheva is the same osios as Soveya. We're satiated, right? We're full. We're complete. We're full. The Davarat Shalim. And Shmona is the same osios as Shmena, as fat. Somebody eats too much, he's gone beyond the norm, so he's above. Shmona is above the 7, it's beyond. And that's what he explains, that Shmona is like the word shemen, and the shemen, oil, right, floats above the water. The water is what makes up the natural order of the world. And Shmona, the shemen is above that. The shemen floats above that. It's always the shemen, which was used for the Mashiach of the Kohen Gadol, for the Ruchnius, for the Kedusha, that's above Teva. And he says, that's why we have 7 weeks until Shavuos, because after the 7 and the 7, then the Torah could be given. It all has to be above. It has to be on the 50th day. It has to be above the Teva. It has to be Lamalim in the Teva, because the Torah is above the Teva. And he points out something very nice. He says that in Tehillim, if you look at Perek Yates, so you have 7 psukim speaking about the shvachim of the Seder of the world. And then Pasuk Ches is Torah Hashem Tamima. Because the Torah Hashem Tamima, that's above the natural order of the world. The Torah supersedes nature. Whatever you thought was normal, that's not normal. The normal is the way, the anaga of the entire Torah, when the world is being experienced by the Lone Day Torah. The Maisa that Rosh Hashanah Shadron said over once at a Sheva Brachos, that he heard from the person that was there, that Meir Simcha, the Or Sameach, he was famous, not just the Or Sameach, not just the Meshech Chachma, but in Davinsk, he was the Rav that even the Goyim used to go to for Shilas. He was such an Adam Gadol that everyone, the priest in the town, was machabed him and realized how chashav he was. That was he was the go-to guy in Davinsk. So there was supposedly a Frusim Dikamaisa, that there was the banks of the Divina River, which is the river that surrounds Davinsk, started to rise. And the way the whole city was built on these banks, where the water was down here, you had the bank, and then they had these pipelines that went through, so if ever the water would ever get anywhere close to the top, so it would start going through the water, the pipes. And that's how it was always contained. It was never in the history of Davinsk, it was never a problem. Okay? But there was some, I didn't fully clap what happened exactly, but there was some glacier or some big body of water, of ice or something, that broke, and all of a sudden the entire river started rising very, 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 very quickly. So the mayor and the people of the town went to the priest, and they went to him, and they told him, you know, it's going up, up, and up, and up. And at a certain point, it crossed over the line where the pipes were. Meaning the pipes weren't doing its job. It was going so fast that the pipes couldn't funnel out all the water. So the water's going higher and higher and higher, and they go to the priest doesn't know what to do. So he says, we have to go to Rav Meir Simcha. So they looked for him, they couldn't find him. He was in the Beis Medrash. And finally, the priest went into the Beis Medrash to go speak to Meir Simcha. He said, you have to help us. The whole town, we're all going to be flooded, we're all going to die. So he said, okay. So he went out. Now, you don't think of Rav Meir Simcha as a Baal Mofes, right? This way, it makes the mice even stronger. So Rav Meir Simcha went, and he stood on the bridge that was going over the water. And he said, I demand that the water stop growing and die down. And nothing happened. And it kept on going. And he said, I demand that it stops. And nothing happened. And then he said, with the kocha shel Torah, I demand that the water stops. And the whole thing stopped. And there were Edim, and there were Farsi in the Maisa. The people are standing with him on the bridge when that happened. And it stopped. Another Maisa. There's more Mefursim, Chaim Kanievsky, the grasshopper story. You heard of the grasshopper story? No. Chaim Kanievsky has a sefer called Karnei Chagavim. It's a Gevaldika sefer. I only looked at it from the outside, but it looks very Gevaldik. And it's all the halachas of grasshoppers. Very important. And Chaim spent time writing, and he finished he was writing the sefer. And as he was writing the sefer, he needed to see a grasshopper. He needed to see the Metzias in order to write about it. At that moment, a grasshopper appeared right on his ledge of the room where he was studying, and it stayed there. He had the ability to look at it, be ma'ayin into it, and based on that, right. The stipler was mefarsing this mice at a kiddush once, and one of Chaim Kanievsky's kiddushes for one of his children. The stipler was mefarsing. And that is it. He finished. He didn't need anymore. The grasshopper went away. Okay. After the sefer was published, there was a certain scientist, I'm not sure what type, but bumped into Chaim Kanievsky, and he said, I read your sefer, lived in Bnei Brak, he said, I read your sefer, he said, you should know, you got the biology, the makeup of the grasshopper wrong. So Chaim had Chalisha Sadas, because a very important thing, he even looked at the grasshopper, and all of a sudden, this guy's telling him that he got it wrong. At that moment, the grasshopper came right there, in between the scientists and Reb Chaim, they were able to look at the grasshopper, and they chapped that Reb Chaim was right. So, Agav, I heard this story. This is a side one. I heard this story once, a long time ago, when I was over 20 years ago. I heard this story, and I was mash misspell. But you never know. You hear a story, you never know. You just never know. Even though I heard the stipler was mafarsim, saying, okay, whatever. But I felt that it was right, but you just never know. So my wife was teaching in a seminary, and she had to give a class on a Sunday, and I told her the story. I said, you should tell over the story. So she told over the story, and all the girls started going wild. What happened? That Shabbos, the day before, they were in Bnei Brak for Shabbos, with their seminary for their Shabbaton. And the Rebbetzin, Olav HaShalom, she met with the girls, and she told them the story. So she, firsthand, we have from the Rebbetzin, firsthand, that this story. So you think, this is amazing, right? No, this is not amazing. This is normal. This is the normal way of life. When it comes to people who embody the Torah and shaku and learning and are davuk to the Torah, so then this becomes the normal way of life. It's not that fancy miracle happened to Chaim Kanievsky. For us, it looks exciting because that would never happen to us. But that's the Metzias. That is the Metzias of the world. The Torah is on top. The Torah is the eight. It's on top of the seven. It's on top of the natural way of the world. Our way of thinking is the opposite. Like, no, this is the norm, and that should not have happened. No. Someone who's maimed in the Torah, like the Sefer Ikrim Bro, someone who's in the Torah and recognizes the cause of the Torah, Adasof, so this is the norm. This is the norm. This is the way it's supposed to be. It could be happened to anyone. You don't have to be a Chaim Kanievsky. Anyone who's davuk and learning the Torah out of soap and the way it's supposed to be done, this is the way Hashem made the world, was that it's kafuf to the lom de Torah. That's the way it is. Based on this Hagdama, Reb Chaim Volozhiner says the following. He says, if you look through Shas, a lot of times, it says a Maisa, almost always, it's a Maisa b'chassid echad. That's the norm. You always hear these stories, the Maisa b'chassid echad. A chassid, it's a chassid. He's someone that's very special, someone that's unique, someone that's a Talmud Chacham. He's a tzaddik. So ma'aseh b'chassid echad, and then all of a sudden you hear some nes that happened to this guy, this Tana, whoever it was, tzaddik. So yeah, that's the norm. Ma'aseh b'chassid echad. On those Gemaras, Abaye never jumped up and said, "Oh, hakama garua adam zeh." What do you mean? He's a chassid. That's the metzias of the world. A chassid. The Shema didn't dry out, and there didn't stop being dole. That's the norm. That's the like the Gemara said. That's the norm. Over here, he's medayik that the Gemara said ma'isa be'adam echad. It was a stam guy. It was a stam guy in the street. Now Nebuch, his wife passed away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that the kid shouldn't die and allowed him to be yonik. That shouldn't have happened. Because he was a regular guy, he wasn't a chassid echad. He wasn't one of these people that were amul b'torah and davik b'torah ad hasof. And therefore, for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to go out of his way, whatever that means, to go ahead and change the course of the norm of the world, on that, Abai went ahead and said, kama garua, ma'isazad, that there had to be a nes for him. So it's very, very important for us, we have the schus, tremendous schus, to be able to spend our days and our nights learning Torah, shaku in the Torah. We have to first of all realize what we have. What is this gevaldik gezach that we have? Sometimes we get so into the learning per se, and getting better at learning and knowing more and learning, and we get so zoned into that, which obviously is very important, but we forget about how gevaldik the opportunity of what we have is. The fact that we're able to learn this Torah, which is lamala min ateva, the same Torah that we're learning is the same Torah that Chaim Kineski is learning. There's no difference. There's no difference. And on our levels, for some of us, we could be, we're doing more than sometimes the Gedolim. We don't know where we came from or what we're doing or what our nisyonos are. Yeah, you can't compare. But we're tapped into this thing that could make that tree fall down and make that tree go up. It's mamash amazing. And sometimes we forget. The learning gets hard, the sigyas are hard, the chazar is hard, all the time. We forget, we have to take a step back and appreciate the gevaldika thing that we're able to learn, the opportunity that we have, that we're able to tap into, that we're able to transform us. It's not just to get the ideas and to know more, and know more, and know more. It's important. But the Torah has to transform us. If it's not transforming us as people to become holier individuals, more kadosh, that we're on top of the teva, we're in control, we're that's who we are, so then we're learning incorrectly, something wrong. Could be it's our midos, could be it's our learning, whatever it is. But the Torah has to transform us to a very new level. My bracha to all of us is that we should appreciate the Torah that we have, we should embrace it, run after it, learn it, love it, and we should be zoche, this coming Shavuos, to be makabel it with that simcha, and continue to grow closer to the Hashem.